The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Hello and welcome to episode 596 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
How does it feel to be amongst master tier players, Nick?
We all made it.
We're all here.
We're all going to make it. So thanks for spoiling my week.
Scratch that. Restart the episode.
Aiden's gonna cut it. On this episode, we've got a pretty short show, probably. There's not too much in terms of any news, essentially. So a little bit of LeagueCast news, no new news. We'll probably just go into a bi-weekly and spend most of our time there, then jump over to Roundtable and Mail Fight. So Aiden, how was your week, buddy?
Mike was good. I played a little bit of League at the beginning of the week, and then I kind of slowly have tapered off now that I've played all my Decay games for all my accounts. So I'm ending Master 220 on my main, ending Master 70 on my Smurf, and ending I think like D1 50% on my other account. So
nice.
I'm pretty happy
about
it.
That's insane. That's pretty insane. Very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's crazy. It's one of those things
where,
like,
which are you most proud of?
Probably, honestly, the D1 account that's like D150, because I got it.
Yeah.
It's D150 with a 70% win, right? I don't know. It's just at this point, like,
big Smurf energy.
It's like one of those things where, like, at some point, like, people blame, are like, oh, everyone's inflated from like past seasons. And then if I can just like take a new account and get it to like Master MMR in like 50 games, shows the system isn't broken. Like,
Yeah,
it shows that I'm just actually like that level of player. So I don't know, it's cool. I probably could have, like, I part of me wishes I made a grind for Grandmaster, but I'm also watching Dan do it, so and
true.
That looks fucking miserable. He's playing like 15 games a day and he's just hovering within 100 points of where he has been for like the past 2 weeks, even though he's been GM like four times this season. So
yeah, that's really tough. That is really tough. Good luck to Dan.
I just don't think the system is very good between getting to Master to GM. But either way, I'm very happy with how I played, and I'm happy to take a bit of a break until our mid lane challenge begins.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of my week for the most part, I think.
Awesome.
What about you, Colton?
You, buddy?
So I played my one game I needed to not decay. But the client bugged, so I had to dodge. So now I am currently, and I think will be, the lowest ranked master tier player in NA for the remainder of the season. Because everyone, there's like 1,000 players at 0 points. Or something. It's not that many, but there's a lot. And then I'm the only one at -4.
Hell yeah. We're carving out that niche.
Yeah, so I get my little special achievement that I'm gonna be the only player that ended master with negative LP this season.
That's so funny. It's funny because I think earlier this season that was me as well. Where like if you dodge at zero, obviously you don't demote, but you do stay there at, you know, -3, which is really, really funny.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, The one game I did play was absolutely awful, so I'm glad I don't have to play anymore. Like, ending Master, I was feeling great, and then, like, I played one more game because I had to for Decay, and I'm like, man, God, this game sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud of my season overall. I think this might be the first time I've ever ended a ranked system a ranked season where all of my top 10 most played are at 50% or above.
Yeah.
So I feel like every other season I've had like in my top like three, one of them be like a 45% mm-hmm. win rate.
Yeah.
It's also crazy to think that Nyla is still my third most played when I only played her for like the first month of the season.
Like, yeah, but I mean, how many games did you play during that first month is the real question.
I have 44 games on Nyla.
Okay. That's a pretty good amount.
yeah, it's a pretty good amount. But also, like, it is... I mean, again, Jarvan's my most played this season, but, like, I just... I don't know. Some people will still, like, you know, because they're dumb, call you a one trick, but, like, this is, as per usual, I got, like, a million fucking champions, and I feel like I did well on a lot of them, which feels good to look back at. It's like, I think I've got like, let's see how many characters I have 15 characters with 10 or more games on them, and only one of them is under 50%.
Is it weird to say that I also think this might be the season that you have played the fewest amount of characters, even though we just highlighted how many characters you've played?
Yeah, I mean, I only played 73 champs this season.
Which, like, okay, very funny to put it in context like that. But for you, like, I feel like that's got to be an all-time low.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, it's just because I played a lot less than I usually do.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's only half the year.
Yeah, and also I feel like I didn't spend any real time, at least in this split, like, maining mid or top, where like usually every season for like at least a week or two, I'll be like, I'm gonna play top for a couple weeks, I'm gonna play mid for a couple weeks, and that normally increases that. I'm looking through, I guess season 11 for some reason I only played 55 characters.
Oh my god, were you sick?
I might have been. Yeah. Yeah, I probably was very, very ill. Nothing's ever gonna top my season 4 stats though. Oh,
how many is that?
Well, no, so season 4, it's not the number of champ 102, but my season 4 was when I played 161 games of Kha'Zix with a 70% win rate.
Ooh, that is that's obscene. Pretty insane.
That
wow.
was when I reached the highest rank I've ever been.
Like ladder, I was like, ladder number.
Yeah, it was like 1500 on ladder. Nice. when I was a Kha'Zix one trick,
just abusing broken champions.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 10 years, baby.
Nice.
But yeah, that's about it for League of Legends. I've been playing a lot of TFT. I'm up to, I think, plat in double up, and I think I'm gold in regular TFT. Mm-hmm. I would be able to tell you if the client didn't take 11 years to load my profile. But yeah, that's about it for me. So I'll hand it over to you.
Hello. I played a decent amount of rank this week. Had a chance to get a little bit of a boost right at the end. Played, I think Aiden, you and I played like 9 games.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And we lost one game on Senna Tom Kench, where we both played, I would say, pretty well in that game. But, yeah, otherwise, pretty, I don't know, pretty bad games until Aiden, you swapped down to bot with me. But we made it. We're all going to finish Masters. That's pretty pretty awesome. Aside from that, you know, just still progressing through Hollow Knight. I was telling Aiden that I learned this week that you can upgrade your hearts by collecting mask shards, which is not something that I was aware of. So,
is that something that's going to make the game like way more playable?
Yeah, I mean, you have 5 like hits basically you can take, and everything does 1 point of damage. Unless there's a mechanic that I'm not aware of yet. So, you know, increasing your health by 20% is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's about it. So let's get on with the show. Aiden, do we have any League Cast news?
Only bit of news is that you can still sign up for the mentor student program in our announcements tab on our Discord. If you don't know what that is, I did a long spiel about it last week, so go listen to that or go read the announcements channel in our Discord, discord.gg/leaguecast.
Hell yeah. Cool. I guess we don't have any new news, so do you guys want to have a little discussion?
Ooh, we finna discuss. Yeah, I'm down. What do you want to talk about?
All right, Aiden, do you have anything for Guffaw?
Yeah, I have a stupid section.
Let's do it.
So I titled it, Aiden talks about off-meta bot lanes and how good League would be if everyone thought like him and was willing to try new and fun and interesting and POG stuff.
Okay, that sounds fun.
And so my logic here is that I think off-meta bottom lanes are super underrated in the game right now. We kind of had a discussion a little bit, but like a lot of people like are circle jerk, AD carries or OP support, like the bottom lane's too strong or whatever. But a lot of my thinking is that it's just underdeveloped as well. I think like this is obviously most obviously seen with like no one plays mage is still bottom for some fucking reason. Outside of like Seraphine, even though I think like Syndra, Ziggs,
yeah, but like, I think their play rates are really low, right?
There's still some of the lowest play rates in the game compared to AD carries, right? Mm. Like I would say if you, AD carry mains, let's just say you've been AD carry main. We'll take the sample size of people who've been AD carry mains for the last 5 years. How many of them play mages occasionally bottom? It's got to be like 1 or 2%.
Yeah, like, very, very low.
Like,
and why pretty low for the fact that like there's always a mage in the top three by win rate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And so, like, obviously we can say that, like, most people agree that Karthus, Seraphine, Ziggs, Syndra if you want, Swain if you want, are all, like, good mages bottom lane. But my logic is that not only are those good bottom lane, I think playing, like, bruisers, potentially assassins, even tanks bottom, as long as you, like, build your composition for, like, the rest of your lanes properly, are really, really good. And no one plays them. And part of this is because, A, AD carry players don't want to innovate. Don't want to learn new shit, and B, support players don't know how to fuck to the fuck to lane any of those things, right?
Yeah, so I would also say just like teams generally don't adapt the draft. Like, there's something to be said about the consistency of like, I know my bot lane is going to have an attack damage focused character in it, where like even in games where you've got like Draven bottom, Graves jungle, Talon mid, you still get people who are like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll pick Renekton top.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people don't adapt to that in like, you know, the solo lanes where it's much more of a baseline requirement, where I feel like if you want to be able to seriously play top, mid, and jungle, you should have at least one physical and one magic damage character in any of those roles that you play. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who don't have that or who just like hard one trick, but I don't consider you like competent at that role if like, you know, your team needs a tank and you say, too bad, all I play is assassins, that's the only thing I do.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, like, but if we just say we put this aside, right, we live in this world where not only do teams build around properly, right? Like, you have, like, oh, we're going to play a tank bottom, so we're going to play an AD carry mid or top, right? Like, they understand this, right? And we also live in a world where your support knows how to lane with whatever character you're playing, right? I'm just saying, I think that, like, so many characters would be playable bottom. Obviously, there's some characters you need levels. Like, you're not going to play Kayle bottom because she needs levels. You're not going to play Cassidy bottom because he needs levels. Like, stuff like that. That being said, so, like, this obviously starts with the fact that I think Tahm Kench bottom is really good, right? Obviously, best paired with Senna because it gives you an AD carry late game. But I think it's good with like engage supports. I think it's good with enchanter supports. It's all right with mages. A lot of the issue that I have with it is that no one knows how to fucking play with it. So in that, you could argue like, oh, that's because Tahm Kench has his E ability, which is really, really good in duo lanes and is shit in solo lanes. So we could extrapolate that to what other characters have abilities that are like better in multi-man scenarios, right? And I look at stuff like, why can't Leona Darius be a bottom lane, right? Like, 1 through 3, you're weak as fuck, but you run, obviously, Flash Ghost, and I just feel like they can, like, duel any single bottom lane in the game, can kind of, like, even if they fall behind, they can just like kind of check them and like,
yeah, there's always some damage them. Yeah, some kill potential.
And then another huge advantage that I'd like no one fucking talks about is supports are really good at roaming in the meta, right? Like it's optimal to have your support roam up for like dragons, roam up for heralds, roam up for like top mid ganks. And guess what? A fucking bruiser bottom lane is going to deal way better in the 1v2 or the 1v1 than an AD carry, mm-hmm. like a left alone AD carry.
Yeah, I almost feel like the
potential to survive or turn a dive. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think like the issue may come from like range where like if you're an AD carry, there's at least some chance that you can like farm under turret and at least like keep the wave away or I don't know, like last hit in that manner. But like how do you let's just take the like the most extreme example. Like how do you farm as Darius versus like Lulu like Vayne, right?
I mean I think you can like just like I think you can farm like 4 CS out of the 6 on a wave, mm-hmm. like without getting fucked too much. You're never gonna farm perfectly, but I think keeping up like at a like 60% 70% of what they're doing level is going to keep your character strong enough until like 3 items into the game.
Okay,
that's kind of my logic. And like I've thought about like what beats this, right? And a lot of it is as we get more characters in the game, there's going to be more characters that are going to hard counter stuff like this. Like, I think Milio is a perfect example. I think Milio probably fucks any melee bottom laner in the game. Just like yeah. how he works. He's super safe. His peel is like fucking obnoxious. He's a healer with a CC cleanse. Like, shit like that's going to be fucking miserable. Lulu's another example of a character that kind of like absolutely cucks these characters. That being said, I think there's like it's probably not blindable, right? You're not going to blind Darius Leona bottom.
Fair enough, yeah.
That being said, when they pick an engage support and they pick whatever AD carry, I think picking like a bruiser bottom is like actually not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to Alistar engage into the Alistar Darius, like, is that
yeah
how do you play that out? Yeah, that I mean that makes sense.
And I mean a lot of this comes from the fact that I play Tom bottom, which I think is good obviously in all these scenarios. I play Cho bottom, which I think once again doesn't just need Sen. I think Cho bottom is like alone just really really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's yeah. so many picks that are just unexplored.
I definitely agree with you. I do think there is some side of the coin that you're missing where I think if they're playing bot lane well, and especially like if they're adapting to the fact that you have this, I think they can zone you off a lot more than you're given credit for. And I think that like Tahm, Kench, and Cho'gath are two that are better than most bruisers at dealing mm-hmm. with that, where like they both have very long range access to engage if you can hit it. Obviously, like Tahm, Kench is way more committal, and you know a ton of individual sustain. Whereas, like if we go back to the Darius example, if you fall behind at all against, I think, a competent ranged bot lane, they're gonna zone you off. You're probably gonna get one minion a wave, and they're gonna maybe deny some XP. And like, if you go in, you're probably just gonna die. Because they're going to have like 8 auto attacks on you before you can actually close that distance. I mean, obviously, if you have like Ghost Flash up, you'll be able to close. But it's tough because I think that there's definitely a lot of unexplored options and a lot of potential there. But I do think there's a reason we don't see it all the time. But also, I think that most bot laners aren't going to be that good at punishing.
Yeah.
Like maybe if I was like in the LCS, I couldn't pull off the Darius Leona bot lane, but I'm sure it would work fine in like platinum, diamond, whatever.
Yeah, and I guess like the biggest thing I want to stress is I feel like the weakest part about a lot of this stuff is the laning, right? Like, I mean, I'm not picking Tahm, Kench, Cho'gath, whatever to like
to win lane hard,
stomp
yeah.
them 2v2, right? Mm-hmm. Like the main advantages come from the fact that like I think it's stronger being left alone when your support goes to roam, which I think is the most important thing in like for supports right now. I think having your support be at not elder at a herald at 8 minutes is fucking like it's so needed. If your support can roam top for a gank, it's insane. And I feel like any AD carry, they just have to give the wave. and a bruiser probably has to give the wave most of the time too, but they have at least more potential in my mind to like be able to turn stuff like that. And the biggest thing is like being able to survive fucking like level 2-3 jungle ganks. I think a bruiser can survive a jungle gank infinitely better than like an AD carry support combo. Like,
yeah, so I think that's actually the probably the strongest one of the strongest aspects of it is like when we were playing, you know, there were a lot of games that we got camped or not camped, I would say. I think there's only one game we got camped, but
that Graves game. Yeah.
Yeah. But a number of games where, you know, we got ganked to try to punish, you know, the Senna Tompkins early, or we started doing well and then got ganked. And I think it was just like, it's just way easier for like you to stand in, you know, melee range of some of these abilities and just kind of walk it off versus like if I were playing, if you were playing in AD carry, you can't tank that damage for us to escape. It's just, you're too squishy. I do think there's a lot of merit behind that as well.
Yeah, and I don't think it's perfect. I just think that there should be, like, the fact that mages are picked, like, 1% of the time bottom lane is fucking crazy. And obviously that means that there's going to be zero room ever for, like, bruisers to be picked, because obviously AD carries don't want to pick them and supports don't want to play with them. But I think it's, like, super unexplored.
Yeah, I think that kind of extends into League of Legends as a whole, where we're kind of, like, as a player base, just sort of content with playing whatever is like good or whatever we like, but not really experimenting with anything beyond that. Excuse me. I mean, we've seen Cassiopeia be at what percent win rate in top lane for how long? Like, she's been the best,
like,
top laner.
54% for like 12 patches. Yeah.
Yeah, for a really long time. And what's her, like, what's her play rate? It's extremely, extremely low.
Like 1%. Yeah. It's crazy.
We've seen Cassante be like the pick ban, right, for top lane and competitive, or a lot of people like high elo people just thinking he's the best character in the game, period, full stop. And yet his win rate is so low. His pick rate is like decently high, but it almost feels like if it doesn't give immediate success and is not already within something that we as players like fall into, that there's no, like, there's no desire to break free from that.
Yeah, I really wish I could play every character in the game at like some base level, just because I feel like the game is super interesting if you don't get confined by these rules that we set up. Like, I really do think...
What rules?
I mean
the bot, sure, like, meta, I guess.
Your teammates even like bestow these rules on you. If you like pick something that's off meta, I'm sure they're not happy most of the time. But like, I think mages top have been super slept on. Obviously I'm biased because I play a tank, which I think is what they're best into. But like, the only way that a mage is bad top lane is if you're playing mage into a bruiser and then you feed the bruiser. That's like really bad because your mage is behind and the bruiser's ahead. But like, if you win against a bruiser, it's insane. If you're against a tank, it doesn't matter if you win or lose that lane. Like, you're just way more valuable.
How do you play Aurelion Sol into Tahmkench into Aurelion Sol into
Cassiopeia,
yeah, that's like, who we were talking about.
Anivia, there's like, I think all these mages top are like good. Like, and it's like, once again, like, yeah, you can't blind him. I don't think you should be blinding Anivia top every game. But if they pick a tank, why not play like the Aurelion Sol? Why not play the Cassiopeia? Outside of like the fact that your mid will still lock a mage after you lock it in, but. I don't know. I just think the game is super interesting when you look at it that way. We actually have a discussion on the Discord about like how there's counter picks in the game, right? Like, the discussion that we were having is how Nasus is a massive counter pick to Kayle, right? I think it's that way.
Yeah.
Or it's the other way around. Yeah, it's Kayle. Nasus counter picks Kayle. Because everything in his kit is kind of designed around beating her, right? It's like, it's one of her hardest matchups statistically. Yeah. That being said, there's lots of things, and this is becoming a more commonly seen high elo sentiment, that you can do in these hard counters to make them playable. Maybe you don't make them winnable, but like changing your runes to, oh, I like to go grass and slam, but I can't, so I'm gonna go comet on this character or whatever, right? So I can get some poke damage, some chip damage to push them out of lane. Instead of building my normal mythic, I'm gonna go this mythic, which allows me to wave clear more and survive the lane. Like, being able to change your runes, build, starting items, play style, philosophy for the game, even in Champion Select, honestly changes a lot of these counters into playable matchups, mm-hmm. which I think is a really, really healthy thing to see for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. No matchup should be 100-0. And to League's point, to League's benefit, I guess, I don't think there are any 100-0 matchups, barring like, I don't know, Sona top or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like any realistic matchups. But
and even there, man, even if you're playing like Yumi 80 carry mid, like it's probably still like 90-10 at worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's crazy.
That's a good point.
I just think it's healthy to think about the game this way, even if it like isn't fully like the truth, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it's super healthy to think about not only how you can innovate on stuff, but how you can work your way out of situations. Cause I do see a lot of people like, oh, I have to be on this character. And if like they pick this other character, I can't win. Mm-hmm. Right. Like my whole thing for like Tahm Kench is that I have to ban Gwen. And then if they pick Fiora, like I just fucking lose. And it's like, I don't actually lose. I just have to never use W. I have to wait for a riposte to do anything. It's like, I can just change the way I play, change the way I build, change the way start my items and how I path and play the game to make that lane not just an insta loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's super not like thought about anymore.
No, I mean it's yeah, we haven't had that sort of shake up in a really long time. I mean, the last is probably like when or 2v0 lane swaps, right?
Yeah,
and that was 8 years ago at this point, like 7 years yeah. ago. And I don't necessarily think that was healthy for the game, but it was at least like a unique way to, you know, to approach the like that concrete meta.
And I still think there's like room for stuff like that in the game, by the way. Never in a solo queue environment, because you can never organize stuff like that. But like, so that if you did a 2v1, for example, you like actually full lane swap. So like your bottom goes against their top. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know, they implemented a thing for mid and top tower. They have bonus resists for the first 5 minutes. So what's supposed to happen is if you do the lane swap now, your bottom lane tower just gets fucking obliterated. And you don't get to do much damage to their top lane tower. That's like how it's supposed to go. That being said, I think there's tons of matchups that you could in theory do that would be worth giving up your bottom tower to do. You know what I mean? And that's like not thought about at all. Like in theory, if they pick like a hyper carry top and you go, fuck, we have to do anything in our power not to let that get through. Like, here's a great example. I'm really bad into Olaf when we play flex, right? Like we had those games where I'm never going to ban Olaf, but like every single character I play fucking gets mm-hmm. rolled yeah. by Olaf. So in theory, one thing we could do is we could have Dan and whoever's playing, like Dan and Nick, go top lane as AD carry support, just beat their Olaf into the ground. We lose bottom tower because bottom tower is less resist, but I take low econ bottom. Their Olaf, who's a carry, gets rolled in a matchup that he's supposed mm-hmm. to like be ahead in, and that maybe is a worthwhile trade. And fucking I see zero discussion about shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, something that I've brought this up on the show, I've brought this up to you guys like a bunch of times, I really don't know why we haven't seen any like AD carry support mid lane, aside from, I guess, you know, you would lose access to the bot lane, like you were saying, like maybe you lose the bot lane earlier, but I don't know, it just like you get your support literally anywhere at any time because they're mid lane and it's, you know, close to literally everything. You put your AD carry in a short lane that can rotate over if need be, and then, you know, you unlock your mage to just sit in a side lane, scale up, TP into fights.
It's funny because like the closest thing we've seen to that is old funnel comps where you play
yeah.
like Taric mid with Yi jungle, mm-hmm. Because Yi takes the camp, comes mid, clears it, takes a camp, come mid, clears it, and then they roam as a duo, like because mm-hmm. you have so much map priority, like being in the middle of the
yeah
lane,
yeah
or middle of the map. It's like stuff like that's just so interesting to me. I wish like I had infinite time to play like 5-man stacks with people and try shit like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Also, the amount of times that you go, we go into a 5-man with our friends and we queue up for 20 minutes and then I go, hear me out guys, we're gonna lane swap and I'm gonna play goofy bottom solo and I just get gapped bottom, you guys get gapped top and the game's over in 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just yeah it's just like theorizing is way more fun than putting stuff into practice, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I think there's also a level of like disconnect where I think a lot of these strategies probably would break down at a certain level of play, you know, whether we're going to say just like LCS or like the top teams of like the LCK and LPL. But I think that that's a really bad way to look at things, because that doesn't mean you can't do them in solo queue, which is what 99.99% of players are playing in. Right? Like the Baus would not be very successful, I don't think, internationally and playing in like professional league. Does it matter? No.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing in professional league. And I think even like, you know, playing to and committing to like an alternative strategy. I mean, there was like team 4-minute inhibitor or whatever nonsense that like did that at Worlds 1 year.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was really, like, really, really early.
Who did like a crazy strat like that, and like we're TPing to the minions and we're like 5 people in one lane. And like, yeah, they didn't go on to like win the tournament or anything, but it's like, you can still try that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that's just like thinking about like stuff like that kind of like revitalizes some of my like enjoyment of League. Like, I don't think the game's ever going to be played like that, but like, fuck, does it ever feel good like trying out a new thing and then winning with it, right? Like, I think that feeling is not really something that I can achieve just by regular play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. I mean, I think I'm going to get a lot of that out of the 2v2 mode, right? Is like, oh, we should try this goofy thing, right? Like, and then if you do well with it, it feels fucking amazing. So,
mm-hmm. I also feel like that would be a really interesting and fun way to approach Flex next split if we mm-hmm. wanted to. We're like, we get the people back together and it's like, we'll play anything but meta.
Yeah.
Like, that's we will not play that might be a AD carry support. Really good idea. We will not play like standard mage top laner, like
every single like we play Flex up, we do our Flex Fridays, and every Friday you bring an idea to the table. You bring a right?
cheese.
And we like, based on pick ban, we'll like implement which one of our like 5 strategies we're gonna do. I feel like that's like a super fun way of playing it.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah, really and, then, cool. And then we care even less about the rain.
True.
That'd be fun. I think that'd actually be a fucking blast. Mm-hmm. Anything but meta is our team name.
Nice.
Fuck. Also, have you guys come up with a account? Nick, your account name is DanMan93. Yeah. I was gonna say, have you guys asked like figure out your account names for your Smurf accounts yet?
I need to go see if DanMan94 is available to purchase.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any, you've got a document, Aiden. Do you have any that are standing out, that are speaking to you?
I have one that I think I'm going to do, but I guess I shouldn't say it, because like, someone actually could just fucking
catch it. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you guys after the show.
Okay.
But it's a play on Malzahar.
Cool. Is it Malzahar? Leaked, leaked!
I hype it up and it's just Malzahar.
But you just run Predator.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, so I don't know. I hope that inspires some people to go try some fun stuff. League is a game that you should try to enjoy and do goofy fun stuff. Also, I was just watching Trevor play a game. And he played against this player. He's played against them a couple times. Their name's like Frost something, and they're like an Ashe top one trick.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2,100 games of Ashe top this season. And every game, they just pit 10 CS a minute and split push with Ashe the entire game.
Hell
and try
yeah.
to interact with people as little as they can.
Oh, I mean, he played with someone earlier called Quingle, who just plays Quinn Jungle, like, all the time.
I mean, at least that's fun, but, like, could you imagine playing 2,100 games of a range AD carry top and then just split pushing with them? Like, it's crazy.
He's waiting for Earth to come back. That's when he really hits his peak. I don't
understand it, man.
It is really funny, though, seeing those examples and then, like, thinking about sometimes people say it's like, it's impossible to get out of silver. It's impossible to get out of gold or wherever like they happen to be. And it's like, my guy, Quingle is D2. Quingle's D2. What's your reasoning?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the character. It's not the role. It's not the items that are the problem here. Like, sure, maybe LeBlanc was overtuned, or maybe, you know, whatever, X patch ruined your champion pool. But it's like, that's not the problem, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One other, like, I think really good bot lane that people can try. I think Syndra as like farming carry with Senna support mm-hmm. is super, super good. Both of them will just zone the shit out of the enemy team and get a bunch of like stats by stack. Just trading. Yeah, they both like stack and get a ton of stats by just constantly mm-hmm. fighting the enemy, even if they're not getting like the last hits. Plus just the fucking zone potential. If you're like worried about Syndra EQ and Senna W, and like if either of them hit, you're gonna get super chunked. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think I just Senna opens up so much potential in the bot lane mm-hmm. that I feel like we haven't seen, like, aside from some Yumi stuff.
Yeah, so you should first pick Senna every
time.
Yumi
Garen.
Playing support.
Yeah, Yumi okay. Garen. But I think like Senna probably works with, you know, as a pretty decent, like, self-sustaining, you know, mage, frontline, like, bruiser, kind of everything.
Like, once again, I don't want to jump back into it all the way, but, like, this is my whole point, is, like, Senna obviously gives you that sustain of, like, late game you still have an AD carry, right?
Yeah.
But my whole point is that Senna's a weak fucking bitch early. Mm-hmm. And, like, imagine these lanes, but you play something strong with them, right? Like, my whole point about Tahm Kench bottom is that I think Senna's really good with them because they do have an AD carry. But if you play Leona, Lulu, whatever, he's just a strong character, but now he's even stronger. Like,
yeah,
you're putting more of your eggs in that one basket, but like the enemy team also has their eggs in like their AD carry's basket anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Cool.
That's cool. Anyways, that's kind of my rant. I just feel like the game's very fun to talk about. I don't want to get into like the doomer, like the game's more fun to talk about than play, because I actually really do enjoy playing the game right now. But it's cool when more people think this way, and I think like-minded people are fun to talk to about it.
Unless you're doing it in my ranked games, in which case,
yeah,
fuck you.
I actually don't mind when people play off meta shit. It's like kind of fun always seeing like how people get to like high ranks playing it, and you go, oh, that person could definitely just be challenger.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just down for it. Like, obviously, it feels really bad if you're in like a, I don't know, a lost slump or an important match like game. I guess they're all game three now, but game three of your promos. Like, obviously, then it feels bad, but I don't know. It also feels good to see, like, okay, holy shit, Quingle's, like, actually popping off this game.
I also, like, it's just, like, so once again, like, I know some people care about the ranked a lot, like, the rank experience a lot, but, like, obviously this person who's playing Quingle, they name themselves Quingle, they only play Quinjuggle, they're probably enjoying League a lot more than, like, most people are.
yeah, for
sure. And that's
sure.
super fun mm-hmm. to see. Like, that's so fucking cool to see.
Yeah.
I just hope people enjoy the game and, like, realize it's still a video game.
Well, that's a bit. We're a bit late for that, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I just love seeing people play like goofy stuff. It's mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Should we move into a roundtable then?
Yeah, that sounds great. So last week's question. This is a hard question to come up with an answer for. So maybe you guys start thinking about it. Last week's question was: which champion in your main role is not busted? This was submitted by Riot Freak, not to us, but just posted.
Okay.
From our Twitter, Surfishy said, statistically speaking, in gold up, Kassante and Gnar. Mid two of my mains, Katarina Mordekai, and Malzahar. I rarely see Kassante and Gnar anyways, but according to opponents, Kata and Malz are broken without counterplay. Don't know about mid. Yeah, I do like the idea of like how people will say your character's OP, but they're actually super low win rate. But I actually do think that stands a lot of the time. Just have to think about the stats a little bit more in depth. From our Discord, Shark said, the champion in my main role that is not busted is always the one I'm locking in. Yeah, I always play skillful characters. And then last but not least, Brandon said, I had to think about this, but I'd go for Riven. She's not a very pick-up-and-play champion, as she does have quite the skill level, but whenever I face up against Riven, two things happen. Either I stomp them because of a snake, or they stomp me because I made a mistake. There's no broken thing on her kit. She has clear weaknesses and strengths and weaknesses, and once you get a hang of her abilities and playstyle, you can work wonders with her. I do think the only thing I actually hate about Riven's kit is that I think it's silly to have a shield that scales with physical damage.
Yeah, it is. But it is really weird.
That's the only thing, but I feel like that's less of a big thing now, like nowadays in League.
Yeah,
but
for
you
sure.
have to also remember she's released in 2014, and that was like fucking silly that she had that on her kit.
Really? Wait, was she a season 4 character?
I think it's 2013, but
really? I feel like she's going to be like season 1.
No, she was season 1, man.
Oh, she's late season 1.
Okay.
I played Riven in season 1.
Yeah.
I was a Riven player in my first ranked split. I sucked at her.
So you were bronze.
Anyways, this week's
the rest of us.
Yeah, I was.
Bronze is good, remember. Yeah. Top 25% was bronze. People don't know that. Anyways, this week's roundup question is, Riot is bringing back Nexus Bliss. They're not actually. I just wrote this. And they hire you to design new minigames, such as Catch the Team, Most Scuttle Race, etc., to take place during the game. What do you come up with?
Okay, so I have two, but then I would also like to pitch Ability Draft for League, please. Just add it to the game. So the first one is Last Man Standing, where it... I think you... It would nocturnal, and it would just be free-for-all. And you would play for a selfish buff, so you would be the only person to get the buff, but obviously it would benefit your team. So you'd still want to like encourage some level of participation, but you still would want to win, so you get the buff for yourself. And then I think the second one would be either like I'm just gonna call it Guitar Hero, but maybe it could be League. where it puts everyone like in the middle of the map and you have to hit the falling like abilities maybe as they come down or and do like cool combos.
Oh yeah.
All right, I also came up with two. So the first one is Find the Nico. And it could be either one player on the enemy team or it could honestly be the whole one on the entire enemy team, and so you're in like a big arena with a bunch of fake Nikos, and then the opposing team can like cast an ability only once to like designate their vote or whatever. And it's like whichever team scores better.
Okay.
That's fun.
The other one would work way better as like a 1v1 mode. But it's just avoid the Yumi. And so like one person's controlling the Yumi and trying to attach to anyone else on the other team, and they need to try and just like run away from her, CC her, keep them off her as long as they can.
Did you see That's the awesome. Ezreal video? Is that why?
No, what is that?
Oh, there's this video on Reddit of this. It's an Ezreal, and Yumi's on his team, and she's like trying to attach to him, and it's just him running away from her for like 3.5 minutes, arcade shifting over walls.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, I've absolutely done that, and I think it's hilarious to do that to Yumi players. So I want it to be in the game mode.
That's so.
Yeah,
funny.
So I after I saw that Ezreal video, I was like trying to think in my head how I could put together like a fun game mode for like community night where like. There's a Yumi on each team, and they have to attach to each player to eliminate them. and like the Yumi who like eliminates all four first wins.
That's so funny. Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. That's a really good idea, Colton. And then some. This is where this question came from. I saw a Kindred alt, and I went, "What if there was the mode in what's this game mode called Nexus Blitz, where like the zone, like you fight everyone, like the zone closes in or whatever." Uh-huh. What if it was that, but there's a Kindred ult over everything, so no one can go below like 20%, and that randomly goes off, like goes away. So it's a mode where everyone's fighting, but everyone can only go down to like 15% HP or whatever. So in theory, it's optimal to have everyone fight. You want everyone on their team to be like 15% when the fight, like when the thing goes off, but it's also optimal for someone on your team to be above 15%, so they're running away. And it's like, this is a game mode that only works for like a short like mini game thing, but I think it would be really fun if like there was this dynamic of like everyone's trying to get the other person low, but you also want to have like people who are like hiders. And just like, I don't know, it's like 15 seconds of fighting before the Kindred ult goes off or whatever. I feel like that's just like something that only works in this scenario.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's sick.
I do think it'd be really funny in like certain situations though, where it's like, oh, we're gonna have four hiders and just send Olaf in.
He just tries to get everyone low while everyone's running
and it's
away.
Like, what are they gonna do? Olaf's gonna get everyone to 15%.
That's so funny.
Yeah, like I just think it's like, once again, it's like, what a fucking dog shit concept for anything other than like a quick like 30-second game mode. I think it'd be fun. Anyways, you can let
us know. Okay, all right, so it's just like the regular 5v5 they're fighting and the arena is closing, but everybody gets a damage multiplier based on their honor.
Ooh.
So it just cucks toxic players.
What about
it's like really funny
regular game mode, but I get to win some LP this time?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. If they want to send in an answer,
they can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. They can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or they can come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leaguecast.
All right, we're going to move into Mail Fight, where our only email is from Aiden. Aiden, you've been busy. Mm-hmm. Hello, LeagueCast.
You can just bring it up on the show. You don't have to write it.
I like writing it from this perspective, so then I can answer my own questions.
It's weird because you do write the email, but I write your reaction to
Hello, LeagueCast crew. Recently, I've been thinking about how difficult it is to balance the game between pro play and solo queue. Not to say that I've done a bad job with it, but it definitely has caused a lot of trouble. My initial thought for this was splitting the patches between pro play and amateur play, but I realized this is a lot, and I may talk about that next week. Even though that would make it seem like two different games, it also made me realize we are playing a very different game than the pros besides just skill level. That being the use of voice chat and having teammates. Our most competitive mode is solo duo queue, which only allows for one potential teammate, diamond and below, I believe. Masters and below. Diamond and below. You're right. And it has zero voice chat. This honestly makes for a huge difference in how the game is played, and I believe it is a large factor in the difference of metas between pro play and the rest of us. This prompted me to write this email about the all too common discussion of voice chat in League and how ranked solo duo is the primary ranked mode. I'll start off by explaining I play solo queue a fair amount, but more so I play with 2 to 4 people at a time in normals and occasionally flex. I also rarely miss a clash, and have played in the most recently cast tournaments. I always prefer playing with voice chat and teammates, not just because it's with friends, but because this is how the game is designed to be played. When playing as a 5-stack with comms, it always creates the most competitive and fun environment for me, even if I'm playing with people I don't know well on a community games night. I still like it better than playing alone. Inherently and professionally, League of Legends is a team game. Even though League has more individual mechanics to the game like laning phase and split pushing, communication is still imperative during these times to pull off ganks and coordinate when to TP versus backdoor in a side lane, not to mention the countless abilities that require teamwork and coordination, and also not to mention drafting, which I quite enjoy myself with a 5-stack. My first question is, do you guys feel the same way about playing with voice chat from a competitive and fun standpoint? I understand Riot isn't leaving out verbal communication for zero reason. They understand their game is toxic, and voice chat in their eyes will just bring more hate. I don't think this is a problem with the community. League as a game just inherently makes for a more toxic environment due to things like snowballing and longer average games. I am wondering if there are more reasons to not have voice comms besides toxicity. I'm also wondering why is the primary ranked mode solo duo. I don't see the point in that at all. The only thing I can think of is streamers can't use voice chat with random people unless they might get banned. The only reason I play solo queue is because it's the most competitive mode and no one else takes the other mode seriously. I really wish flex was the main ranked mode that was competitive. On the flip side, I understand not everyone is like me and they prefer solo queue or they prefer no voice chat. For people who don't want to get potential flame or whatever, reason is completely understandable, and that's why voice chat is always optional. However, someone could still feel obligated to enter voice chat to not lose a competitive advantage and expose themselves to pointless bullying. To answer the question if Riot should change their ranked mode in comms, I would say the player should decide that. My last question is, do you think more people would rather have voice chat or not, and would people rather have solo duo queue or some sort of flex? Could Riot do a poll? I'll restate the question so you don't have to look for them. Thank you very much, Aiden. Oh, sorry for the longest email. You guys always kill it with answering my questions. So I guess we'll just go in order. Do you also like playing with people you know in voice chat from a competitive standpoint? I think we're all going to say yes. And
yeah, I think way more fun.
Not just from a competitive standpoint, but yeah, because it's more fun to do it, to talk and to commiserate with people who are, you know, going through the same thing that you are.
I think I almost have zero value from a competitive standpoint from it. I think it's purely from I like to hang out with my friends and play video game.
Okay. Do you feel like there is zero competitive purpose to it at all?
No, there is a okay. competitive value that you get from it. I'm just saying that I think if like
oh, for
somehow
you.
If I talk to James, my buddy who I played duo queue with, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever I talk to him, it makes him like he can't think and play at the same time, so it makes him play worse and we lose more games. I think I'd still rather play in voice chat with him than not.
You can just say Nick, by the way. You don't have to say James.
You are actually the worst at talking and playing out of anyone I know.
I really don't understand. Like there sometimes it's okay, and then other times it'll be like, I just cannot, like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's fair. Are there more reasons than toxicity for no voice chat? I think primarily it's 13 years after the game came out. So it's probably just a part of League that it'll never have voice chat at this point.
Yeah, I think that it's, I think toxicity is like the scapegoat they point to, but I think they just don't want to like dedicate the resources to make it happen. And I believe that they don't think it would be highly beneficial, or at least the benefits wouldn't outweigh the problems, but I don't know, man. It's wild. There's still just nothing there. But you get voice chat with your party that you queued up with, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if you use that, like 0.0001% of players that use that.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
No, I was gonna go to the next question. Okay, why is the primary ranked mode solo queue? Why did Riot introduce this? I mean, like, I think in, like, every game ever, for the most, not every game ever, but, like, vast majority of games, like, solo performance is what matters most, your individual effects. And, like, even in team games, solo performance matters a ton, which is why there's so much tracking of individual stats, like, right, you know, it is just kind of like the way that's always been done, and like it makes the game so much more accessible to more players more often. The fact that I can queue up when it is just me, I don't have to wait for Nick to be off work and for Aiden to not be having a date night with Kennedy, and for all of us to have like a free hour to queue up and play a game together. No, I can just queue up at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning when all of my friends are in bed, and I can play. It's the most accessible, and I don't know. It's like, I think just the default ranked mode for like every competitive video game and every competitive like game across the board. Like, you know, at the highest level of sports, still people are comparing individuals to individuals, not just teams to teams.
I also think there's just been way more stability with solo queue over the course of League's life. Like, we went from, what, fives, like where you had to have a team, to I can't remember what was after it, to then flex after that. Like,
I think it was just full teams to flex.
I feel like there was something in the middle, and I can't remember. But, I mean, either way, like, even going from full teams to flex, like, I don't know, just there being that, there being a solo duo queue that entire time, and that's just how it is, I think kind of leads to people kind of seeing that as the more legitimate game mode.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a solvable issue. Like, I really do think that if Riot, like, say for this new season, they had a big fucking event, they put out a video, they put out a dev blog, and they said, hey, we're relaunching flex queue this season, it's gonna have new rewards, better matchmaking, it's gonna do all these things. It doesn't even have to fucking change, really, like, reality. Like, they can put like some cosmetics on it or whatever, and they relaunched it like that, it would probably just like 10 times its player base. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they just probably don't care enough, which is like kind of fair. They're bread and butter solo queue. I hope that one day they relaunch it as something. I even think like just removing flex queue and bringing back like teams fives would be like kind of fun, because the reality is like teams fives died because it has no player base, but flex also has no player base, so at least it has more of a purpose, like a more of a idea, right? Whereas like you can just queue solo and flex, which seems completely against the idea of it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Would League of Legends base prefer voice chat or not?
The player base. I think
it's hard to say. I'd say like the the vocal, whatever minority or majority, whoever it is, definitely seems like they want it. But I also have to stress the fact that there are still millions of people who play the game who are super casual and probably just play the game. They get home from work and just play a game and they don't want to like talk on voice. You know what I mean? So I'd assume those people probably would prefer not to have it, is my guess, I guess. And I think that in my mind, at least, that's a majority of the player base.
Yeah. It's just really hard to say because we don't have any data at all on like who would want voice chat and who doesn't, because it's easy to, you know, come up with anecdotal things about like, yeah, people would want it like because this and people wouldn't want it, you know, because of that. I don't know. I don't know if there's like too much merit into answering it without the data.
Yeah. The one thing I would add is that I feel like more players would generally lean towards have it, because you can have it and turn it off and you experience the same thing, but the players who want it and it doesn't exist can't turn it on.
The counterpoint is that like in any game with voice chat, if you don't have voice chat, like everyone's mad at you for not using voice chat is the idea.
Yeah, you're just inherently at a disadvantage and putting your team at a disadvantage too.
I don't even mind that too much. Like if you don't want to fucking use a feature and that puts you at a disadvantage, that's your fault for not using it. But like the idea of people getting mad at you for not using an optional feature that wasn't in the game for 13 years is super weird, mm-hmm. right? Like if you play Overwatch at like a decent level, if you're not in voice chat, your team's just fucking pissed. Like they're mad. Like, and it's like, this is an optional feature to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's like weird. But I don't know. I feel like the advantage, like obviously there is an advantage in theory. I personally think that fucking so many people want voice chat because they think this idea of like them being a macro player, and this could just be my like weird headcanon that's not actually true. I feel like a lot of people who want voice chat is because they think that they're good macro leaders when they're not actually that good at macro leading. And I think their comms would be bad and they would probably fall ranks. Like it's crazy how many people like comm in like even just like our group of friends, like that are just like, I think their comms are bad, and I think they would probably, it would be a detriment to their ranked experience if they could voice chat.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dude, like there's a clip on Reddit today of like some guy getting a pentakill as Vlad or whatever, and it's just one of his fucking friends in the call is just calming just useless garbage while he's pentakilling the 1v5. He's like, I think like the Yasuo used alt. It's just like just fucking dog shit comms at like hog channels, but
that's hilarious.
That's my like little headcanon is I really do think a lot of people who do want it like think it's because they would be a good leader, and I don't know how true that is a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want it because then I can flame my teammates over audio and they're going to be less accurate at picking it up, and so I can say the bad words that the text filter will catch.
Yeah. I do think like a lot of people's mind changes when they like calm something and it goes wrong and then their teammate tells them to kill themselves. I feel like that people's opinion of the game of voice chat changes super quickly when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so funny.
The classic, like, have you ever had like someone link a Discord and like people join like back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
people still do that every now and then.
And every single time it either goes well and it's like fine or whatever, and you're like, oh cool, that's a good voice chat experience, or it goes poorly and people just slowly leave the Discord as the game's going on.
Yeah,
it's so funny though, man. I accept it every time.
Yeah,
I'm here for it.
I also like that. That's another thing that like I've said it a like a ton of times on our Discord about conversations. Like if you're really like so pro voice chat, link Discords in every lobby. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like no one does that, and it honestly more people click it than you'd think, and all the people who are clicking it are actively looking to have a conversation, so it's a good group of people mm-hmm. to have in your comms.
And the reason they don't join is because nobody else has yet. The second the first person gets in there, three more will be there.
Yeah, no, I think if you really do care about voice chat, please do that. Like, honestly, like, people will, like, join. Just make a fake, like, a random-ass server, just solo queue server temp or whatever, and link it.
And then track it and collect a big data set and put it on Reddit and say, I played 1,000 games posting Discord every game. On average, 3.2 of my teammates accepted and wanted to voice chat. And then tell Rito, and they'll see the data.
Yeah. Either way, like I think there's ways that you can have it happen. I don't know if it's actually gonna ever happen. I would assume they have it. I think once again, Riot's issue with it is they don't want any negative publicity about people being toxic in their mainline video game when it's already like kind of a bit of a cesspool. But.
Yeah. Cool. Would the League of Legends player base prefer solo queue where flex is the most serious mode? I think that's pretty hard to say. I feel like most people are probably like to some degree playing this game by themselves for a large portion of it, right?
Yeah.
So probably. To then go into a game mode and to seriously have to tell yourself that you lost a fairly match-made game where there's five people on the other team that are queued up with one another, like in voice chat, like you're saying, and have played with each other for every night this month, versus like five randoms who were you know not in sync with each other, and call that like a fair mode would be kind of hard, like kind of a hard sell to I think the average player.
For sure, I think the bigger discussion is like, should solo queue and duo queue be different modes, or like.
Like have different like rankings.
Or like have solo queue, then like duo queue has to go to flex. Right? That's like the thing that you hear everyone suggest is like, well, flex queue would be played if people couldn't duo queue. And I don't think that's true. I think people just less people would play solo queue.
Yeah, I think that's the case too. Like if you remove duoing, we've seen it Master Plus, like people just have less fun playing the game. So it leads to them playing the game less.
I just don't understand the idea of like, well, all those duos just move to flex. It's just, no, they just don't play the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, stopping people from playing with their friends in the mode they want is not the solution. I think the closest you could potentially get if you really wanted to have more people playing flex and playing flex more seriously would be to give it a loose tie to your solo queue MMR and rank. Because, like, you see people who are, like, the top flex players who are, like, platinum in solo queue because that's as high as they can get in solo queue. And I think that that makes a lot of people instantly call the game mode, like, a joke. But I think if there was some level, and I'm not sure how you could do that system in a good way, but I think that could potentially help.
Well, I think if you look at solo queue at some level, like even if you're playing with someone who's way better than you and carrying you every single game, like there is some, higher level of impact that you have by being one of the five people that has a chance to win the game versus like, I mean, in the extreme, like flex scenario, there's four people who you can get carried and boosted by or whatever. And I don't know. I think there's just like the more variables you put into someone's climb, the more representative that climb is going to be. So putting a wider variety of players, you know, with paired with you and paired against you and varying skill levels as well, like just makes that more like more representative of where you are as a player.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Could Riot poll people if they want voice chat or a focus on flex? It's their game, they could.
Yes, and they do. I mean, like,
yeah, there's
Riot
still
is
surveys
constantly
that go
surveying its players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've not personally in any of the surveys I've done, do I recall questions about do you wish flex was a more serious game mode or do you want voice chat? But like, they are constantly polling the player base. They could, and I imagine if they aren't currently, they did at some point, you know, get some data on do people want voice chat, do people want flex.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think like voice chat is one thing and like there's good discussion there, but I think the player base is already sold on hating flex, and there's very, very little that I think Riot could actually do to fix that, unfortunately.
Yeah,
sorry to be such a downer, Aiden. Definitely a different Aiden.
Cool. That'll do it for this episode. If you want to send us an email, mail at leakhousepodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kingoddout, bluebasket, and leakhousefrost. On Twitter, we are LeagueCast. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.